Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Choose necessarily what kind of wood we get at the beginning of every relationship, and I'm going to explain what this means in a minute here, so don't walk out yet. But the question is, are we building walls or are we building tables in our relationships? And so today we're going to talk about the table of relationships. And to start, we're going to open up our Bible to John chapter 6, and we are going to read the story that we find there. If you have been in church at all, this will be a familiar story, but we're going to be talking about Jesus for just a minute here. Actually, a few minutes. When Jesus looked up and saw a crowd, this is verse 5, coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Anyone said that recently? I have. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. I love that grass made it into the Bible. I don't know why we needed to know that, but there was plenty of grass. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, everyone said gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. So I want to highlight two things here. First off, we had Philip saying it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And then we've got Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saying, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." So we have on one side someone saying, "Jesus, basically, are you crazy? This isn't like we could work for 6 months and we wouldn't be able to feed everybody." And on the other side, we've got a little boy with some bread and some fish saying, "Jesus, take what I've got and do something with it." And today I want to talk about relationships. And I'm not talking just about marriage or friendship, but any kind of relationship that you have. It could be a parenting relationship. Maybe your parents are older, or maybe you've got young kids in the house. But as I'm talking, I just want everyone to think of some kind of relationship that you have in your life. And my question is, are you either building walls of a fence, or are you building tables? So the little boy brought his fish and his loaves to Jesus and said, "Jesus, like, this may not be enough, but here, do something with it." And he basically was saying, "Jesus, I want to build a table with you," right? And so he gave God his wood, what he had in his hands, and Jesus built a table for over 5,000 people. That's a pretty good table, isn't it? But then we've got Philip saying, "It would take more than half a year. Are you crazy?" And what was Philip building? He was building a wall of a fence. He was saying, "Jesus, this is impossible." Have you ever in a relationship been like, "I'm not enough, you're not enough, this isn't enough," and you get offended and you build a wall with what's in your hands? Anybody ever built a wall in their relationship? And so we all have relationships in our lives, and the question is, what are we building in them? We all know every relationship with Jesus started perfectly and stayed that way, right? I mean, Jesus was perfect, correct? No? Man, that's too silent. Only the baby was giving me some response there. Let's see. Jesus had a close friend betray and kill him, right, in Luke. Someone deny his friendship in Luke 22. Doubt his identity and word in John 20. Completely misunderstand him multiple times, but also in Luke 18. And so much more, right? So what we learn from Jesus's relationship is no relationship is perfect, even when one person in the relationship is literally perfect. That should just, for any perfectionists out there, just take the perfectionist hat off, because Jesus was literally perfect, and yet he didn't have a perfect relationship on earth. The only perfect relationship he had was with his father, right? And so I think sometimes there's this expectation on our relationships that we have to get it perfect. Or when will it finally be perfect? If you've ever been married, it's like, well, when do I reach the perfect? Is it at the 5th anniversary or the 50th, right? But if you talk to most 50th anniversaries, they're like, no, we just decided it was never going to be perfect. And then we started appreciating what it was and growing from there, right? Do we have any 50th anniversary people? 40th? 40th? Awesome. We've got some 40th. Awesome. Congratulations. 53. Ooh, okay. There we go. Is it perfect? Not yet. See, I'm just saying, right? And so sometimes we're the reason that a table in our relationship has turned into a wall, right? Who here has ever been the reason that an offense has happened? Anybody? Any honest people in the place? Thank you. All right. We like to be honest and practical and just do family here. And then how many have not been the reason? And yet you ran into a wall in a relationship, right? That is not a pleasant experience either, right? That can be really hurtful. And so in the church, and as a son and daughter of God, we can say this. We can say, I may be the reason, or I am the reason, that there's a wall here, and I want to be the start of wholeness. But we can also say, you know, I may not be the reason that there's a problem here, but I'm still going to be the start of wholeness. Do you see that? Because Jesus said, hey, I am definitely not the reason that there is a problem here, but I'm going to be the start of wholeness. And some of us here need to realize today that we're waiting for somebody else to start to be the process of wholeness in a relationship. And Jesus is saying, if I had to start it, why wouldn't you? Right? And so we're going to look at how that begins. And I want to do a disclaimer here because I'm talking about relationships, and I just want to do a disclaimer that I'm not talking about abusive relationships, all right? So if you're in a situation like that, please talk with a pastor. I just want to make sure that that's separate, and I want to just point that out, okay? So we were all handed wood as we grew up, right? Let's say this is our relationship with our dad, and let's say that he wasn't around. And so the piece of wood that we were handed was that we aren't lovable, all right? So that's this piece of wood. And then let's say our mom, maybe she worked really hard, but she also wasn't around, but she did her best, right? Just like most of us do. And she gave us a piece of wood that says, there will never be enough. So we have, I'm not lovable, and there will never be enough. And then maybe our siblings, maybe they made fun of us and taught us that we aren't lovable and we aren't valuable, right? So we've got that here. And the problem is if we just, I don't know if you can see me. I wish we had we do have a platform. I could have done that up there. That would have been smart, wouldn't it? Can I have two volunteers? Let's see. I need somebody. William? Awesome. William and Pedro. There we go. Okay, we're going to make a friendship out of this. So, not that you aren't friends already. I didn't mean that, but for the metaphor. Here, come on up. Okay, so you guys are standing here, right? And so you decide to hang out, right? And these are all made up things. I'm not speaking badly about anyone's family, just to clarify, right? So you've got that, okay? And you've got this. And then you've got that piece here. All right. So here, what happens when they're like, hey, want to grab a coffee and hang out as friends? And William's like, yeah, but I was told I'm not worth anybody's time, right? And so what does he do? He's going to put it down on the ground, right? And he's going to build a wall, right? And Pedro is like, well, you're not worth anybody's time. Well, you're just telling me I'm not lovable. So then you put it on top, right? And by the way, that's not a feminine lie. If you're a guy in here, you can struggle with that too. Wow, you're building a really interesting wall there.
You won't work.
Hold on. There's that.
Like this?
Sure. There we go. Why not? Okay. And then William gets back together and he's like, well, you're not. So Pedro starts rejecting William. And then William's like, well, you're just validating my lie that I'm not valuable, right? And so then William starts building a wall here. Man, that turkey, it's just getting us this day.
Okay.
There we go. Maybe just hold it, right, for the sake of the illustration. And then suddenly, they're trying to connect here, and they've got a wall, and they've got a wall of a fence, right? And they can't, they start to not be able to see each other. When if they had just given these pieces to God, God could have taught them how to build a table to meet in the middle of. Are you following? Okay, you guys can sit down and you can make the wall fall. I needed bigger pieces of wood for that. Thank you, William. The thing is, when Jesus looked out over humanity and he said, I only have a few years, he didn't make some meteor crashing solution. He decided to sit around a table for a few years with people, and he decided to serve them, and he decided to eat with them. And when they brought him their past, and they wanted to build a wall of a fence, he would take their wood, and he built a cross out of it, and he built tables to sit at with them. Are you following? And it was through his sacrificial love, it was through his honor and how he spoke to people that he did this. So that's what we're going to look at here real quick. So I want to just start with sacrificial love. Everyone say sacrificial love. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. How many have heard this verse a lot? And I don't know about you, but the mental image I get, no offense to any youth orchestra, but that is exactly what I get. If you ever have been to a youth orchestra performance or ever had your child perform in one, it kind of sounds like this verse sometimes, don't quote me to the kids, they're out of the room. But when I actually looked up what these words meant, there's a deeper revelation. So sounding brass, we have to remember that Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and I've been to Corinth, and I've stood in the ruins of the temples and read the plaques of all the really messed up stuff that happened there. And Corinth was known for a lot of pagan worship. And when you go there, you can stand in the ruins and read all the things they did, and it's not good. And so we have to understand that Paul was writing to this church, and sounding brass was actually an illustration from the pagans in Corinth, because pagan worship, they would take brass and they would clang it together. And it would be this banging sound of brass that would actually echo out through the streets. Isn't that interesting? So we just think of maybe a youth orchestra or maybe something else, but he's actually referring to something here very specific. And then it says clanging cymbals. And when you put the word clanging next to this to cymbal and you look at the words when they're together, it actually means to raise a war cry. And this was actually the word that the Jewish people would use as a call to arms before they went out to battle. So what Paul is actually saying here, if you put those definitions in, is though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I've become like the pagans, annoying endless worship of nothing, or my words only signal it's time to fight and go to war. That makes a little more sense, right? So if my words mean nothing, or if my words are only causing us to go to war, I have not love. And I'm building walls instead of tables, right? Again, we all don't get to choose the wood that we're handed, but we do get to choose what to do with it. And some of us came in here today and we've been carrying around some wood. We've been carrying around some things from our past or just some learned habits that are actually destructive in our relationships. And God is saying, will you give it to me so that we can build some tables out of it? Because you're building a lot of walls right now. And he wants to tear the walls down. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said, sacrifice is the essence of love, which is the essence of God. Every relationship Jesus had was based on sacrificial love. Mark 9, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? Now, I don't know about you, but if I was arguing with my husband and Jesus walked in the room and said, what were you arguing about? That would not be a good day, but guess what? He does it every time we argue, right? But Jesus asked over 300 questions. He loved to ask questions. The disciples kept quiet because on the way they had been arguing about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Now, that word sitting down, in biblical times, when someone was going to teach or a teacher was going to teach, he would actually sit down. So that's why it says sit down there, because he was going to teach something. Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." So in order to build a table and a wall, we need to actually lay down our life. Who has ever heard the lay down your life verse, right? And you're like, maybe you have it like over your dining room table from Hobby Lobby or something, right? But what does that actually look like? And normally I think it looks like, you know, maybe changing my priorities or something. But what if laying down my life looks like laying down my offense? Maybe it looks like laying down some of the trauma that I've been through and actually processing through it with Jesus or with a therapist or with somebody that I can do that with safely. Maybe it looks like laying down my wants, or maybe it looks like laying down my selfishness. And to lay down my life, that word lay down, laid, is the same word in Mark that is used when Jesus was laid in the tomb. And how many know, even this morning we were talking about resurrection, right? But this is the one time that we're not supposed to resurrect what we lay down, right? A lot of churches are like all about resurrection, and Jesus is like, hold on. We're not resurrecting everything we lay down, right? And I don't know about you, but I am such a good person at resurrecting things that I lay down. Anybody else? It's like I may have laid it down at 7 p.m., but by 8 p.m., it is on a third day resurrection kick that I cannot stop, and it's coming out of my mouth. Anybody there? My husband and I had that some this week. It wasn't good. And so we are called to lay down and not resurrect it, all right? And so my check for you in the sacrificial love, my challenge or my sacrifice check is, when was the last time you sacrificed something for somebody? And I'm not talking about going and, you know, I don't know, the easy sacrifice that we think, which there's no sacrifice that's easy, but what about sacrificing offense or sacrificing something that you've been holding on to, maybe a piece of wood that you've been building a wall out of, and instead lay it down, because tables aren't, you can't eat at this, you have to eat at this and lay it down. Amen? So that's number one. Number two is honor. Everyone say honor. Kingdom honor isn't based on earthly positions, but on kingdom identity. Honor isn't a right, it is a gift. Anyone ever thought of honor as a right? Like, you better honor me. Right? Anyone ever said that? Like, how dare you? Like I am, anybody? No. Okay, just me. Well, I've done that, definitely. And what my husband and I realized was the word honor or respect means a lot of different things in different families. Anybody ever realize that? And so when we first got married, I was like, you are being very disrespectful. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, wait a second here. We were building walls. We were building like the wall of China between us. And he thought he was just loving me. And I was like, you are completely disrespecting me. And we had to actually sit down and say, wait a minute, what was disrespect in your house growing up? What was disrespect in my house? And guess what? They were two very different definitions. So before you build a wall and assume, it's always good to ask a question. Just putting that out there. If Jesus asked over 300, maybe we should start asking at least one or two, right? And so honor isn't a right, it's a gift. And I love Luke 10. It says, the Good Samaritan honored the Jewish man who was beat up. And the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't like each other at all. Like, the Samaritans weren't allowed to go to the temple. They weren't allowed really to be even talking to each other. And so the fact that a Jew in this parable, if you don't know it, just read it in Luke 10. The fact that a Jewish person actually helped was incredible. And the Samaritan helped. So the word honor means high respect or great esteem. So Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That word serve means to wait at a table. That's how it's used in the Bible. So Jesus is saying, I didn't just come to tear down your walls, and I didn't just come to turn those walls into tables, but I came to serve at those tables too. Isn't that powerful? I'm just reading a ton of scripture here, but I think that's good, because it's better to let the scripture preach. Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So when we lose honor in relationships, we start turning our tables into walls because we get offended, right? And so let's look at how Jesus honored. He knew people. He got to know people. He didn't just assume. He served people. He was never entitled. If there was somebody that could have been entitled, it was Jesus, but he didn't even act entitled. And he celebrated people. He didn't take them for granted. And it was never based on their positions or achievements, but it was based on their eternal worth. And when we remember in our relationships, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship, a parenting relationship, when we remember that that person has eternal worth, our walls start looking really silly. At least they do for me. And so that's a challenge there, to remember your eternal worth and the other person's. In a community, honor can look like being able to think out of the box. Anyone like thinking out of the box here? Yeah? Me too. And so honor in a community can look like being able to think out of the box and not being in a controlled environment, right? I'm not saying that there is an order, but not a controlled environment. It can look like choosing to forgive quickly. You not using words like never and always. Anyone ever use the word never and always? It is a wall builder. It is the nails that go into the wood, right? Never and always. But instead using words to lift each other up and not talking behind backs. That's also another wall builder right there. I love it, but one of the first people that Jesus honored with eternal life, if not the first one that we're aware of, it was someone that really honored Jesus, actually gave more than anybody else. They did tons of miracles, and they were so close to Jesus all throughout his life. They just gave and gave and gave, and they really developed a very strong relationship with Jesus. Do you know who this was? No, it was the thief on the cross, and they didn't do any of that, did they? Not at all, right? The first one that Jesus honored, we're all, that turkey effect is really hanging in the room. I thought someone was going to shut me up sooner. That first person that Jesus honored with eternal life and said, I'll see you there, right, was hanging on a cross and just recognized who Jesus was. He recognized Jesus's eternal worth. And Jesus said, I see you. You just saw me. I'll see you in a minute, right? It wasn't based on the thief's achievements or his ministry credentials or his degrees or his salary increase that he gave to the church or gave to the poor or whatever. It was based on the fact that he recognized Jesus. And there is an unlocking that happens from heaven when we recognize someone's eternal worth. And so that's my challenge to you. Build this table by asking God for his eyes to see a person daily, and then regardless of their behavior, find a way to serve, lift them up, and celebrate them. All right? That's more challenging than not, depending on who you pick. But I encourage you to pick someone that you haven't been honoring, or maybe you feel hasn't been honoring to you. Because if you're waiting for someone to take the lead in honoring you, you might want to realize that before you did anything, Jesus honored you so that you could honor somebody else, instead of waiting for them to honor you. I think somehow in the church, if the church just keeps waiting for someone else to honor, what are we going to do? Like, I don't know what we're waiting for. Jesus already came. He already honored us, right? He honored us with his Savior. That's what Christmas is all about. Now we get Jesus inside of us. Now Jesus is saying, why aren't you honoring each other? Why aren't you choosing to see the eternal worth in each other? And that is the challenge. So lastly, it's communication, and we're going to wrap up on this one. Tel Aviv researchers translated over 15,000 bat calls into specific messages. 60%, this is true, by the way, this isn't a joke. 60% were arguments about food, sleep positions, invasion of personal space, or unwanted advances. In other words, it was a bunch of married couples, right? Oh, that didn't land right in the room. Okay, were you guys following me? Okay, we're going to take that again. Tel Aviv researchers translated over 15,000 bat calls into specific messages. These are bats, okay? Bats. Bats. Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't hear me. Bats. B-A-T. 60% of these bats were arguing about food, sleep positions, invasion of personal space, or unwanted advances. Thank you. That's more like it. I read that and I was like, are you serious? Then we've got African elephants, and they make an infrared low vibration that can be heard over 175 miles away. Isn't that amazing? So we're talking communication. We've talked about sacrificial love. We've talked about honor, seeing each other's eternal worth. And now we're talking about communication. How many know you can try and honor someone and you can lay your life down for them, but if you say something wrong, ow. You say, exactly. What happened? Did everyone hear that? That was just a beautiful sermon illustration. Let me put it this way. I could have cleaned the house for my husband, and I could have really sacrificed a lot of time for him that day. But if he walks in the door and he doesn't say thank you, I'm going to build the biggest wall that you've ever met. Why? Because of communication. Everyone say communication. It is the hill we live and die on for relationships. And I ain't kidding on that one. And so we're going to talk about communication as we end here. I thought this was funny. The first time my husband got a your mama joke, I don't know how old he was, but he wasn't that young. He was probably like an early teen or something. You can ask him after. You know what a mama joke is, right? Yeah? Okay. And so someone made it to him, and he's got an Italian mother, and he burst into tears because he thought they were actually making fun of his mother. And he was just done with I don't know who that person was. If you're in the room, I apologize, because I know he's got some friends that were around back then. But anyway, another communication thing here. How many know communication is more than your words, right? And so on a recent trip, I hope she's not watching online today. On a recent trip, visiting family, and part of Brian's family lives in Europe, I was with a friend there, and she introduced me to her friend. And I said, she said, listen, this girl's French, so she's going to kiss you. And I was like, okay, great. Thank you for the warning. And so sure enough, she kissed me on either cheek. And I was like, if you don't know my story, I was like, I waited a long time to kiss my husband, and like, you just did it, and I don't even know your name, right? I was like, really, this is a little weird. But I forgot to warn my husband. So the next day... Yep. The next day, I didn't think he was ever going to meet her. I didn't know we were going to like reconnect. So the next day, we're getting a ride somewhere. Sure enough, there she is. She goes right in, and Brian just got this panicked look on his face. He didn't know what to do. And I just smiled. I was like, it's okay. It's all right. We only waited 27 years to kiss, but you can kiss her, whatever, you know, just watch. Anyway, how many know communication matters, right? Whether you are doing a friendly French kiss on the cheek, not a French kiss. This turkey is just doing horrible things to my brain. Either that or the piece of wood. Whether you are saying your mama joke at somebody and they don't get it, right? Or a kiss. How many know communication is it's the hill you do or die, right? And you either build a wall or you build a table out of your words, right? And every word is a building block. So Mark 10. I'm just trying to keep it rolling here before I dig a hole. Mark 10, throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Rabbi, said the blind man, let me see again. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. If Jesus had to ask a blind man what he wanted, some of you husbands need to start asking your wives, right? That was the actual joke. I think everyone got done laughing. But the point is, if Jesus had to ask a blind person what he wanted, wouldn't it seem obvious what he wanted? How often do we just assume what the other person wants or doesn't want? And we don't even ask the question. But Jesus asked over 300 questions. And he knew everything. And so a form of communication that is really important is actually simply asking questions. Because every form of communication is either building a wall or it is building a table. It's either maintaining distance with somebody or it's building connection. Everything we do, all right? And so how we build tables with communication is through active listening. And I could do a whole message just on communication, but just the cliff notes are active listening. So instead of listening while someone's talking to you, and instead of just being like, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? Which is very easy to do, especially if you have any anxiety. But instead, stopping your thoughts and actually listening to understand. Even Jesus listened to understand, not to prove his own point. And if anyone had a point to make, it was Jesus. And the second thing is choosing to be respectful with your words. And, you know, there's passive, there's aggressive, there's passive aggressive, and then there's just healthy communication. So some of us say, you matter, I don't. Some of us say, I matter, you don't. Some of us say, you matter, never mind, you actually really don't, with our words. And often we'll have one of those that we lean towards. And as I was prepping this message this week, I started listening to how I spoke, and I was like, ooh, which one of those three do I go for? So I encourage you to your challenge here in communication is to actually stop and think, am I building connection? Am I building tables where I can actually honor and sacrifice? Or am I building walls with my words? Am I actually being disrespectful with my words? And my respect for you isn't based on your actions. It's based on the fact that I'm respectful. Because if Jesus honored because he is honorable, I can be honorable and respect because I am in him. Does that make sense? It's not conditional. So why don't you stand on your feet? This was a lot more like a family conversation than I intended to. Hopefully I don't have a concussion from this message. That was pretty loud. My vision did go for a split second. Whee! Hopefully you remember it because of it. Everybody has a pile of wood. Everybody has a broken table that you start every relationship out with. And it doesn't mean that it's negative or it's going to be a bad relationship. It just means that we carry wood. We carry beliefs. We carry habits and patterns of thinking. And the question is, are we going to say, hey, we don't have enough even if we work 6 months, like Philip? Or are we going to say, Jesus, take my wood, take my beliefs, take my habits, take my ways of thinking what's right and wrong, and do what only you can do with it, and build relationships that are healthier than I've ever experienced? So Jesus, right now, we just thank you that we get to give you what's in our hands. God, we've talked a lot about building tables through giving what's in our hands with our gifts, or waking up with you in the morning and starting our day off with you like last week. But today we know, God, that we can't build community if we can't build relationships and if we just keep building walls. And so, God, I thank you that right now you are just breaking patterns of dysfunction and unhealthiness off of us. God, I thank you that if there's someone in the room that says, well, all I've ever had is dysfunctional relationships, so it's all I'm ever going to be capable of, Jesus is saying, give me the wood in your hands, give me the few loaves and the fishes, and let me do what you can't do. Let me break down the walls that you've built, and let me build tables with you. Let me bring restoration. Let me bring healing. Let me remind you of your eternal worth. Let me remind you of the eternal sacrifice that I did on that cross and through that empty grave. And let me remind you of the communication that I'm still doing. I'm still talking to you through my word. I'm still talking to you every day through little reminders throughout the day. Jesus has a living, healthy relationship with us, and he wants us to have the same gift with each other. So I just bless you today. Any brokenness, any walls that you have put up in your relationships to encounter God as the unconditional, loving Father that he is. I bless any walls to be broken down and to turn into tables. I bless you, any areas of unforgiveness or bitterness, to receive his love, to receive a Savior in the midst. And I bless you with healthy relationships. I bless your mouth to be able to say words that lift up instead of tear down. I bless your mind to be able to think thoughts that are eternal, that have worth and value. and I bless your heart to be able to process emotion in a healthy way. And I bless our hands to be able to give and to give sacrificially to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So the challenge this week is to sacrifice something for somebody, to lift somebody up, think eternal value. And let me tell you, it'll be in the moment that is the least convenient that you're going to remember this message. I'm just putting it out there because I hope it happens to me too, so that we can actually choose to build a table. You do have to actually build it with Jesus, right? All right. So next Sunday is going to be really special. Pastor Tom and Jordy will be sharing about Israel and the tables made of olive wood from there, right? And the community that's international, right? We can't just talk about our in-house community if we're talking about community. We have to talk about international. And there's food being served outside. If you are new here, we cannot wait to connect with you. Go to the welcome table, and Pastor Natalie and Caleb will love to do that. And next Sunday is coffee with the pastor, so it's a great time to connect and meet each other as well. All right, so be a witness this week and build some tables, not walls. All right, God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.